From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
This is Alan Cairns saying hello to you and welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. It's our privilege to come to you at this time each day with the Word of God and to let the Bible speak clearly on the great truths of the Gospel. Today we continue our studies in Colossians chapter 1 and consider verse 24. In this and the following verses, the Apostle Paul deals with the subject of the Christian ministry. This week our studies will concentrate on what clearly stands out in our text as a faithful and fruitful ministry. So stay with us as we turn again to God's Word in Colossians chapter 1. First, however, we commence with our daily devotional Bible study for today, which is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9, and the subject is Living in the Present, but Looking to the Future. Ecclesiastes 11:9 says, But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Happiness is not just a possibility, it's a command. The key to happiness is enjoying the present while looking to the future. Throughout Ecclesiastes, God has revealed that life and the ability to enjoy it are His gifts. The more we understand the nature of this life, the more we can appreciate each moment of it. Part of the secret to successful living is knowing that this life ends, and after it comes the judgment. More than a creedal affirmation, this knowledge grasps the truth in such a way that it molds and directs the way of life. The sight of eternity puts the present in the proper perspective. Life is temporary and full of trouble. Young people think that they're exempt from the influence of time, and those not so young try to deny what they see in the mirror and feel in their bones. Nevertheless, youth must give way to age and ultimately to death, as chapter 12 makes clear. That degeneration is part of life, and it emphasizes the folly of living for this life only. Let us look eagerly to the future. How much better will be our eternal, our heavenly home? The judgment that lies beyond this life reminds us that we are accountable to God. Knowing this should foster a fear of the Lord that drives us to please Him in all that we do and say. The thought of standing before our Lord is not a club that beats us into submission, but a sober reminder that Christ knows us for what we are. Though the judgment is future, we know that even now all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do, as Hebrews 4:13 tells us. Christ's estimation of us should be our overwhelming concern. And our thought for the day, the future belongs to those who belong to God. This is hope.
Thank you.
Many of you have already asked for our quarterly magazine, and have, I trust, been enjoying reading it. The latest issue of the Let the Bible Speak Quarterly deals with the subject of the cross of Christ, and that should make it an issue that is of interest to all of God's people. If you haven't yet joined our readership, I encourage you to do so. It's easy. All you have to do is call or write, either by conventional mail or by email, and we'll ship the magazine off to you. There's no cost to you at all, and no strings attached. We know that almost any time you order anything from most Christian ministries, you're likely to receive endless streams of begging letters. That will not happen when you write or call Let the Bible Speak. So make sure you get on our mailing list for the Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is LTBS@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you and being able to send you our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. We're now going to turn to God's Word in Colossians chapter 1. As I said at the beginning of the broadcast, we're looking at the section which commences at verse 24. It has a vital subject for every preacher, but I suppose also for everybody who has to listen to a preacher and be a member of a church. It's the subject of the gospel ministry. In a day of so many charlatans, so many false preachers and false gospelers, it's important that we get to God's Word and understand from the inspired apostle and learn from his experience what the gospel ministry is all about. So turn with us now to Colossians 1 verse 24 as we learn an insight into the gospel ministry. Colossians chapter 1, and we're now going to commence at verse 24, and for the sake of the reading, in place of the pronoun who, we're going to start with the I, which picks up really all that Paul has been saying in advance. Verse 24, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious and inspired word for his name's sake. In the earlier part of this chapter, the Apostle Paul has been expounding on the twin themes of the glory of Christ and his work, and the glory of the gospel and its work. And having completed those, the apostle now proceeds to speak upon a subject that is always very near his heart. If you are aware of the writings of the Apostle Paul, you will know that again and again in his writings, he returns to the great subject of the Christian ministry. And what we have before us this morning, generally, is another treatment of Paul on the subject ministering the glorious gospel of Christ. That's the big theme in verse 24 to the end of the chapter. And inside that subject, there are two great lines of thought. First of all, Paul speaks of a faithful and fruitful ministry. And then, toward the end of the passage, he speaks of a rich and a glorious mystery. The mystery being something secret, that is something that is not known by or discoverable by human intellect or investigation, but that has been revealed by the Lord through his precious word and gospel. And that mystery is, of course, the content, really, of the message that Paul preached and its effectiveness among the people. So he talks about a faithful and fruitful ministry, and then a rich and a glorious mystery. Now, I know that some of you think that I never learn, but I'm going to prove differently. And instead of trying to get through those both this morning, I'm going to stick with the first one. And we're going to be dealing with the first great line of thought in this passage, which is that of a faithful and fruitful ministry. When the old Puritans came to a passage or to a text before they would ever deal with it, they always set out first the doctrine. Now, I'm not going to try to return to Puritan styles of preaching. You think I preach long. Well, you just want to have it, if I were to go the whole way the Puritans did, they would have doctrine one, and then later doctrine two, and then doctrine three. And then they would have use one, use two, and use 22. And then they would have observation. And then they would have various other kinds of subheads. So I don't think you're ready for me to return to Puritanism, at least in the form of the sermon. But I am going to give you the doctrine that Paul is here setting forth. Because I think both for ministers, elders, and people, what Paul is saying here is something of vital and immediate importance to the Church of Christ. The doctrine is this, that the Christian minister has the privilege of serving the body of Christ, his church, by representing Christ. A task that may entail much affliction, both of body and of soul, but a task that must be faithfully fulfilled with an eye to that great day when both the minister and the people will stand before Christ. That's the doctrine that Paul is dealing with here. When you read this passage, you will discover, not only from my statement of his doctrine, but from how he describes the ministry, that he maintained a very high view of the gospel ministry. And so should you, and so should I. As far as Paul was concerned, the job of a minister was not a mere job. It's not something like the tasks that you have in the world that you train for, therefore you're able to do it. I remember when I left school, I was supposed to train to be a school teacher. All wrapped up and accepted and all the rest of it. And then the Lord moved my heart and conscience, and I decided I couldn't inflict that on unsuspecting boys and girls. So I didn't train to be a school teacher. That left me with a sort of a strange time of not knowing what to do or where I was going to be or anything else. I was offered to train as what you would call a certified public accountant. The way you do that over there is, or at least the way you did it when I was around as a young fellow, was very different from what you do here. Actually, you became a slave. You had to sign papers. You became an indentured servant for 5 long years. They called it an articled clerk. Clerk, you would say. The article simply meant you'd signed articles of indenture. You couldn't leave. I looked at the payment for that, and for the first year, it was going to be something like £24. That would have been just short of $100 in those days. That was for the year. And they thought they were doing you a good turn because in the old days, those of you who read English literature, you like Charles Dickens, for example, you will find that you had to pay to become this indentured slave.
So the morning I was due to start, I went down with the good news for the firm. I don't think I want to be a public accountant. They promised you, as Dave Stair knows, it's true. They promised you once you become an accountant, you know, the world's at your feet. You'll become a millionaire because we get paid big money. Well, look at Dave, you know that. Anyway, that was not good enough for me. I wasn't going there. But had I gone there? I mean, knowing my math skill, anybody that ever dreamed of me as a public accountant would have to be a lunatic. But anyway, if you trained for that job, whether you liked it or didn't like it, once you got your diplomas, etc., hey, you're ready for the job. You can do the job. There are people who look at the work of the ministry that way. They're trained for it. They have the skills for it. They have read the right books. They have taken the right courses. They have passed the right examinations. Therefore, they are now fit to be ministers. That was not Paul's view of the ministry. It was not a mere job. And it was certainly not what many, many ministers take it to be. The proper English word is a sinecure. Now, if that's a new word to you, let me explain it. It comes from church history. It comes from theological literature. In the medieval church, a working priest was one who had a cure. If you read Victor Hugo or any of the French books, you'll read about the curé. He is the man who has the cure of souls, or the care of souls. So a working pastor was one who had an actual task of caring for souls. But then the Pope got in the act of raising money, and he would give benefices, bishoprics and various parish offices to people for money. And then they would rake in the money from those benefices, and they were often called priests or bishops without a cure, sinecure, without the care or the job of looking after the actual work of the parish and the souls of men and women. So a sinecure came to be a job that had honor or had reward, but there was no actual work involved in it. And sadly, there are all too many people who enter into the Christian ministry thinking it's a place of glamour or a place of honor or, worse still, a place of worldly remuneration. But there's no actual spiritual work, sometimes very little physical work going into the thing. That was not Paul's view of the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you read this passage, you'll see that to Paul, the work of the ministry had two fundamental elements. He uses two words of basic importance. First of all, the minister is a servant of men, but he is also a steward of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, We'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now, that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.